Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Those of you that are new to Oceans, Oceans has been going for 6 years, literally a couple of weeks ago. And we're so thankful to the Lord for what He's done. You know, we're so grateful. Please, there is no perfection here. We have many faults. And, you know, I thank God for that scripture where He says, first take the plank out of your own eye, because there's many specks and planks in my eye, okay? So I'm not saying this because we think we've arrived at some form of perfection and we are the model of perfection. No, not at all. But by grace, we've grown and we've seen God do amazing things in the lives of the most incredible people, which is you. And I'm so thankful for that, because I've seen people grow. I've seen people turn from drug dealing, homelessness, to becoming leaders. And even, you know, God's just done the most awesome stuff, you know, here at Oceans. And we give Him all the glory, and we're just so thankful for it. You know, when God spoke to me about planting the church, He immediately gave me an instruction with how to do it. Now, for those of you that don't know, I am originally from South Africa. That's why I speak funny. So I have this accent, which, just by the way, I don't think I sound that way. You know, I think I sound normal. And when I hear other South Africans speak, I think, whoa, he sounds so funny. But I don't talk that way. So anyway, I grew up, you know, got saved in a church in South Africa in 1997. I had an encounter with the Lord. I grew up in a Christian home, but really had an encounter with the Lord in 97. And I was saved in an incredible church with a phenomenal pastor, Pastor Harold, who's still my pastor today. And we're under his leadership. He is my overseer. I have a phenomenal relationship with him. I'm accountable to him. Most of you know I'm very open about that relationship. Even when he rebukes me, sometimes I share it with you, because I want you to know that that accountability is always there. Also, I have a spiritual committee that oversees me, to make sure that if I ever fall or sin or anything like that, that they'll deal with me and hold me accountable. And then obviously within the church, we have leaders set up in positions. I have pastors, I have zone leaders, I have cell leaders that are set up in positions of authority to make sure that things run smoothly in the church. So we do that, and we believe that that's important. I'm very thankful to my pastor, because he taught me some really important things that I believe have laid the foundation for this church. You know, he taught me the fear of the Lord, number one. Every time I speak to him, he tells me, reminds me at the end of the conversation, Alex, make sure you walk in the fear of the Lord. And the other thing he taught me was he taught me the value of prayer. And it's amazing, I've always thought I understood that, but as I grow and walk more and more with the Lord, I realize just how valuable that is. How prayer and walking with God and speaking to the Lord and having intimacy and relationship with Him is the foundation of every believer's walk. And when we live in that place where we are intimate with God, where we have relationship with Him, our preservation will always be there, because the Spirit will be communicating with you all the time. So that's just a foundation. Now, as we get into the Word this morning, I'll explain some more things about the structure here for those of you that are new. But Paul addresses the church in Ephesus in the book of Acts. Now, in Acts 20, if you go to Acts 20, you will find that Paul addresses several issues. Now, understand that he wrote to the church at Ephesus through Timothy, in the book of Timothy, several times. Also, there's an address to that church in the book of Revelation. But in the book of Acts, he addresses Ephesus in a very, very serious way because of something that's taking place. He'll also address the church in Corinth, and I'll share with you both these addresses and warnings to the church. And the reason why he does this is because of how precious and valuable every individual is in the church. I need to overemphasize that. You know, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you are valuable to Him. You, every one of you. Now let's take a look. Let's start with Acts 20, verse 28. Now, I want you to understand, he's addressing leaders, elders, at the church of Ephesus. Therefore, take heed to yourselves. In other words, he's saying, take care of yourself, take heed to yourself, check yourself out, make sure things are okay, take heed to yourself. And to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God. Let's stop there and let me talk about this. I want you to see Paul is addressing elders and telling them, listen, you guys are the overseers and the shepherds of the church. Timothy's not even in the conversation, who is actually the current pastor of the church at this time, we believe. We know he was the pastor, and I think at this time he was probably the pastor. Now he's talking to these leaders as though they are overseers and shepherds. In other words, because the church at Ephesus had grown into a very large-sized church, there was no way that Timothy himself could take care of the entire congregation. So Paul is saying, listen, you guys, you leaders have been put in positions of authority to help oversee and shepherd the congregation. With that said, I want to talk to you a little bit about our structure here at Oceans. Please understand that the structure that we have was just copied from the church that I came from. And the reason why is because that church has been going for over 30 years, has nearly 10,000 members, is extremely healthy, has produced ministers, pastors, preachers, evangelists, and all kinds of people that travel the world. Many churches have come out of that church. There is some fruit on the tree. So monkey see, monkey see, monkey do. But the model that they use is actually very biblical. And where do I get that? You see, we are what we call a cell church. Now, we call ourselves U-groups. And the reason why we have U-groups is because every Wednesday night, we have these small groups where up to 12 people, but the perfect number is 10, will get together. And the leader of that group will help see how they're doing, take care of them, shepherd them, make sure that they're healthy, they're okay. If there's a problem, they'll call them, they'll make sure that they're fine, that they'll be there to help support you. Are you with me? When that group gets to 12, we multiply the group, so we raise up more leaders. And the reason why we do this is because in the book of Exodus, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, went to him and said to him, listen, Moses, you're trying to do too much. You're trying to take too much on yourself. Why don't you appoint leaders, leaders over tens, leaders over 50s, leaders over hundreds? And so it went on. Because you're going to die. You're going to burn out. And in fact, if you study scripture, you will find out that when Moses went into Egypt, his family wasn't with him. He was so focused on his ministry that his family missed all the miracles. And his family suffered because of it. So Jethro actually got a hold of him and kind of rebuked him and said, hey, you've got to take care of your family. You've got to take care of yourself, my boy. You're going to burn out. There is no way that your senior pastor standing before you can take care of every need, every hour of the day. That's why we have leaders over leaders, and make sure that we can accommodate and make sure we can take care of 10 people. Moses did it in the wilderness. So we take that model. Our model is called the Jethro model. Is that okay? So that's the structure that we have. And then what happens is when that group gets to 12, it's now grown larger. We multiply. That way we can raise up more leaders, give more people opportunity, get more people, the opportunity, the ability to minister to others. And then that group will grow again to 10. And then once it's between 10 and 11, it'll stay there. Once it gets to 12, we multiply. That way the church grows healthy with accountability and everybody's taken care of. Amen. Then over those leaders, we have zone leaders. We don't want a zone leader to have more than 5 cells. There comes in the 50. Just like it is in the Bible. Now, please, I'm not suggesting that the Bible's model is perfect. Okay, it's a joke, okay? I think if it's in the Bible, it's got to be a good model, right? Now, I know there are other models in the Bible too, but this is the one that this church has adopted. And as I said, we've seen it worked very, very well and very, very healthily. Again, there's no perfect, there's no perfection, guys. And I'll show you how even in this model, there's drama that takes place in the wilderness, which we'll talk about today. So that's why we have the structure that we do. It works very, very well. Those zone leaders will be accountable, you know, to those cell leaders. Every week, what you may not know is we get a report from every cell group to make sure that we know what's going on. If there's anything major happening, we can take care of that need. The cell leaders send in reports, the zone leaders send in reports, so the church can constantly be, you know, continuing, and if there's any problems, we can address them. Now, having said that, I want you to know something. As your senior pastor, I do my very best. If someone reaches out and says, Pastor Alex, I would like to meet with you. I have something I want to discuss with you. 99% of the time, I will make a meeting with you. The only problem is that my schedule is pretty full, so it may take 2 or 3 weeks. But I will set up a meeting. And if you call and say, something major is happening, I'll say to you, well, have you spoken to your cell leader or your U group leader or your zone leader? If you say, yes, I have, and I'll phone them, we'll find out what's going on. We'll set it, I'll see you at night. We'll make a plan. Okay? Very few people have invited me for dinner. Please don't all invite me for dinner now, next week. I just can't, you know. But very few people have invited me for dinner, and I've said no. I try and do it. I try and make myself as available as I can. But let me give you an example. My daughter is playing volleyball this weekend in Orlando. So my wife isn't here. Many people are like, where's Pastor Alex's wife? They're probably fighting. No, we're not fighting. I don't want my kids to hate church. I don't want them to feel like we will never support them. My daughter's homeschooled. My kids are here every day. They're in this environment, which is wonderful sometimes. But they also get to hear and see all the drama. So it's important for us to make sure that we take care of them and that their father can also be there for them sometimes. It doesn't help we save the world, but my kids don't serve the Lord. Are you with me? So I take my family time very seriously as well. But I can assure you, I do my absolute best. You know, I do my absolute best to be accommodating towards you. I want to know you all because you are all so precious. Amen? So there you now, you have a basic understanding. Yes, there's more. There's much, much more, but that's just a foundation. Now let's move on. So he's addressing these leaders. Paul is addressing these leaders, telling them, listen, you have been appointed. You've been appointed, even some of you, even as shepherds. But he says, take heed to yourselves and to the flock. And then he says this, which the Holy Spirit made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. In other words, I want you to understand, he's saying to them with all sincerity and very intensely, I want you to recognize the responsibility, leader, that you have been given to oversee a person in your group, in your home, parents, that Jesus paid for with his own blood. In other words, Paul is saying, listen, this is very serious, what I'm sharing with you today. Very serious, because everyone, in the last service, I went down and I put my hand on different people and said, this person and this group and this group. And the fact is that not one of you in this place is not important to him. He paid for your life with his blood. Amen. And now he's about to warn them. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. In other words, there will be some savage wolves. There will be some people that will come into the church, and they will not care about anybody. They have their own plan, their own agenda, their own things that they want to do. And then he's about to shock them. And he says this, also from among yourselves, in other words, even some of you leaders, even some of you leaders, among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things. When you see the word perverse, unfortunately, most of the time we have a tendency to think that it always speaks of something sexual. Well, it doesn't. In fact, the Greek word there for perverse actually means that they will speak twisted. They will speak distorted. They will speak crooked things. And the Greek says that what they will try and do with those words is lead someone astray. So these men that will come into the church, and even some of these that are leaders in the church, will come and speak distorted, twisted, crooked things with a purpose to lead you astray. So what is their motive? One thing Pastor Harold has always taught me is whenever there's a problem or whenever there's a situation, always look for the motive. He's about to tell us what the motive is. Why would they come in as ravenous wolves from outside the church into the church, or even from within the church to cause trouble and dissension? He tells us. He says to draw away the disciples after themselves. In other words, these individuals will come into the church, or even from within the church, will have their own agenda, and at the center of it all is me, myself, and I. I know better. I know the right way. I know the way things should be done. They will have their own agenda. Are you with me? Are you guys okay? All right. Now he warns them. He says, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, I need you to try and understand this. I need you to comprehend this. This is not just a, hey, watch out, guys. He's saying, listen, when someone comes into the church with dissension and divisive agenda, really to just boost themselves, I want you to watch out for this. And he says, listen, I have cried out. I have warned you. I've gone before the Lord with tears in my eyes to make you aware of just how serious this really is. Why? Because every one of you were bought with a price by the blood of Jesus. We don't fully comprehend just how powerful that really is. You see, if one of you goes astray, it means a lot to him. If one of you gets hurt, it means so much to him. And I don't know if you've ever been a part of a situation in a church where this divisiveness, this division comes in. It only does one thing: destroy. It destroys lives. It destroys individuals. It destroys churches. It destroys so many people. Families get destroyed. The warning is severe, and I'm going to show you from the Word of God why it's so severe. But let's look a little bit more, because he not only addresses the church in Ephesus with a stern warning and intensity, he also does so with the church in Corinth. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 10. Listen, guys, I know this is not a very exciting, you know, jump around, scream and shout message, but this is the word and it's very important. Amen. Look at the language, the way he speaks. Verse number 10, 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 10. Now I plead with you. Does this sound important? Does this sound serious? He's not saying, hey, listen, just please take note of this also. He's saying, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Then he goes on in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 3. Watch. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. Until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, division among you, you are not carnal and behaving. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? In other words, listen, the reason why he's saying this is very powerful actually. He's saying, I can't give you the more stuff because your behavior is still so baby-like. When you are given more, you are more accountable. But because you're still carnal and act like someone that is a baby and that you still want to just cause strife and division, I don't want to give you more because it's going to hurt you. You're still a carnal Christian. You haven't moved off the milk yet. When I start giving you the stakes, the more mature things, and you're still immature, it's actually dangerous for you. Are you with me? That's 100% scriptural. Romans 16, verse 17. Now he's talking to the church in Rome. Now I urge you, brethren, watch this now. Note those who cause divisions and offense, contrary to the doctrine which you learned. Everybody say this, and avoid them. Now, let me ask you a question. What should you do when someone comes with division, divisiveness? What should you do? Okay, from Paul's lips to your ears. I never said it. If someone comes to you, run. If someone is divisive, malicious, slanderous, and they've just got their own agenda, avoid them, the Bible says. Now watch what it says. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoa. But their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple. In other words, just like he warned the leaders in Ephesus and tells them that these guys are doing this because they have their own agenda, he's telling the church in Rome, listen, from those who cause divisions and offense, avoid them, because they'll come and they'll flatter you. They'll even say, oh, you know, you this and you, you know, you should have more authority and, you know, the church should listen to you more and, you know, all this stuff. They'll come and flatter you. But really, their agenda is so evil. They want to bring division and strife because they have their own agenda. At the heart of it all is me, myself, and I. It's very quiet in Vero Beach this morning. Now, before we get to the heart of this morning's message, this scripture, when I read this, I remember how it shocked me to my core. Titus 3, verse number 10. Please understand, church, you can see with the language that Paul is speaking that there is a reason why this is so serious to him, that he pleads, that he cries, that he weeps, that he begs, stay away from this, don't get involved in this, because he's going to share with us just a little bit later what the reason is. Titus 3, verse number 10, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. In other words, when someone comes and they're divisive, or they want to bring division, or they want to bring strife, after they've done it two times, reject them. What that simply means is kick them out of the church. Is that okay? Knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. Being self-condemned. In other words, that person has already condemned themselves because of what they've done. Are you with me? The problem is that there's more to this than what meets the eye. Because if you get involved with that division, that divisiveness, you are also held accountable. That's why Paul says, from such people, stay away from them. Because there are consequences, guys, that follow you if you get involved. Rather just push it away, just get away from it, okay? Now, let's go to Jude chapter 10. I'm going to give you from the scriptures why this is so critical, and then we're going to go and have a look at what happened in the story. Now, to be honest with you, I should read the entire chapter from the beginning to give you the context, but let me just say this. This book is about apostasy. It talks to you about where people have messed up and have been judged very, very severely. A lot of that is there for our warning, so that it can warn us so that we do not follow the same path. Is that okay? That's why it's there. So I'm about to read to you from verse number 10, but know this, that before this, he's addressing what fallen angels have done. You know, there's some heavy stuff that's being addressed here. And know this, that God is very good, guys. That judgment comes only, you know, it takes a lot. God is very merciful. But one thing that God does not take lightly is when you purposefully go out to cause someone to be destroyed. Listen, this is not God's first rodeo with us. In heaven, Lucifer deceived 1/4 of the angels. He was able to persuade 1/4 of the angels, 1/3 of the angels. He was able to persuade 1/3 of the angels to turn against God. And unfortunately, it cost them all to be thrown out of heaven. But that's not the only place where this happens. We'll see something a little bit later. Let's quickly go there. Jude 10, there's no chapters because there's only one chapter. But these speak evil. He's talking about these different groups of people that speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and have perished in the rebellion of Korah. There are three things he's addressing. He's saying, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. That's one issue. We're not going to go there this morning. We can preach that another day. It'll be too heavy, okay? The next thing, they have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit. That's another whole thing, very powerful as well. We're going to be addressing this today, and perished in their rebellion of Korah. Let's go to verse number 16. Because there's just so much scripture, I have a lot to get through. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust. What did Paul say? He said that they have their own agenda. He said that they have their own plan, their own purpose. It's them. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. It's the same thing that Jude is saying. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last days who would walk according to their own godly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having the Spirit. These are sensual people that bring division, and the Bible says that they don't have the Spirit, capital S. They're in the church, but they are no longer operating by the Spirit of God because they are trying to bring division. Listen, a body can only work if it stands together with itself. A kingdom cannot stand divided against itself. A body can only be healthy if it's working together with itself. Are you with me? As soon as there's division and divisiveness, that body becomes dysfunctional. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having the Spirit, capital S, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. So he's going to show us, we need to go and have a look at what happened in the rebellion of Korah. Why is Paul so serious about divisiveness and division? Why does he make it such a serious issue? Jude tells us this is what happened when there was divisiveness in the Old Testament. How many of you know that the Old Testament is a type and shadow for us? So we need to learn from it. And understand, he's teaching you this principle now, New Testament, so it applies. All right? Let's go to Numbers chapter number 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. Let's stop there. This to me is already intriguing. Because they talk about Korah, and if you study scripture, most of the time you'll find that it's the son of David. Finished. But in here, he wants you to know exactly who we're talking about. Because this guy, I want you to remember. He was the son of Esau, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. With Dothan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, the son of Peleth, the son of Reuben. They took men. Now let's stop there. The first thing I want to point out to you is what you're about to see started with three guys. Three guys had the ability with their flattering lips, with the deceiving dissension in their hearts, had the ability to cause big trouble to the children of Israel. Three people did it. But what's also interesting to me, and you know, the Lord always has a tendency to do this with me, and I think it's because, you know, I really need the Bible to be simple so I can understand it, right? That's just how God works with me. So I said to the Lord, wow, Lord, you know, three people, all this could happen from three people. And then God showed me that actually, no, it wasn't three, it was one. Because it was the rebellion of Korah. You don't even hear about the others in the New Testament in that context. So in other words, one individual had the ability to affect the lives of literally thousands of Israelites because he had his own agenda. And his heart had become deceived, and he was able to persuade an entire group of people to follow what he believed to be right. Are you with me? So they took men, these three individuals, and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel. 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. In other words, these guys were leaders. They were leaders of the congregation. They'd been given authority. They were highly esteemed. And I want you to understand something, that these are individuals that when Moses' father-in-law came to him and said, listen, Moses, you need to pick from the congregation, you know, leaders to be over the different groups because you're going to need some help. So Moses goes and appoints these guys, gives them authority, gives them opportunity, gives them, you know, space to minister and to be used by the Lord. It's a great blessing and an honor, right? So these are the ones we're talking about. Men renowned. But of course, they're not happy with that. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, listen, Moses, you take too much upon yourselves. Upon yourself. In other words, Moses, listen, you know, you want too much. You know, everything is on you. And you want to do things your way. And I don't really agree with the way that you run things. I don't really think that you should do things this way or you should do things this way. I think it would be better if we did it this way. You know, and I've managed to speak to a whole bunch of people and they all agree with me. Have you ever noticed when someone wants you to agree with them, when they don't want you to know that they're trying to get you to agree with them, they'll kind of say something like this. I had a business partner once that would do this. He would say, you know, he would say something really terrible. And then he would go, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You know, you know, and then I wouldn't say anything. Or I would say, you know, that's really bad, you know. And he said, well, you, what do you think? You know, do you agree, you know, to try and get me to say, yes, I agree with you. Because as soon as I said, yes, I agree with you, he started to feel better about himself. He started to think, oh, you know, now I've got you on my side. You know, now I've got a little bit of ammunition. You see, Korah didn't go and address Moses when the issue was in his heart, which is what he should have done. No, instead, he managed to rile up the entire group. And with the confidence of the whole group behind him, he felt, now I can go and I can stand before you. And I've got the whole group. And Moses, you are wrong. Your leadership style, I just don't think it's right. And then he says this, for all the congregation is holy. Every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Listen, Moses never once said that the Lord wasn't among them. Moses never once said that the children of Israel were not holy. In fact, Moses desperately wanted the children of Israel to connect with God. That's how I am as a pastor. I desperately want you to serve the Lord, to love the Lord, to grow in the ways of the Lord. Listen, I'm not perfect. No leader is. Every leader makes mistakes. But they do the best that they can. And unless they've done something wrong, unless they've done something evil or sinned or something like that, please don't turn against them for your own personal agenda. Because it ends up being harmful. Divisiveness and division, it's not about an individual. It's about what it does to the congregation. It causes harm. It causes hurt. People get destroyed. Why do you think in some cities there's 14 of the same denomination? How do you think it got that way? And then you want to know why they don't grow and they're dead and nothing's happening? Because of this. You see, the truth is what's happened in this moment is Korah has come and said to Moses, listen, Moses, I don't like what God has told you to do. I think God wants to do it this way. So what's happened? All of a sudden, there are two visions. The one that Moses was given by God and the one that Korah thinks God has given him. What's happening? Two visions, division. Now there's a problem in the congregation. Why then do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? This is what he says to him. Wow. So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. You see, the truth is that most leaders that really do care about their congregation, this kind of thing is so horrible because we know that the end result, someone's going to get hurt. We'll probably get hurt too, but someone's going to get hurt. These people that have been paid for by the blood of Jesus are going to get caught up in something vicious, vile, and ugly, and it shouldn't happen because someone has their own personal agenda. You know, they'll come and say, well, you know, I come from this church and this is how they do it. Brother, go back to where you come from. Go back. You don't have to be here. The vision that God has given us is really, it has not changed from six people to nearly 800. It's not because we're perfect. It's not because we do everything perfectly. But we have followed the vision and instruction that is given us. And listen, when my zone leaders and I meet and they say to me, you know, we feel that this needs to change, I'll definitely look at it and consider it, and we may make change. In fact, we've made changes and we may make more changes. But our basic structure is very biblical. And if you say, oh, well, that's Old Testament. Listen, in the New Testament, the disciples said, listen, we need to give ourselves to prayer and fasting. Let's appoint some people to take care of the people. And if you think that's all I do, brother, you have no idea. I'm here in most nights of the week till late. I'm seeing people all the time. I have appointments nonstop. My schedule is booked out for a month, at least. And then people phone and they get angry because I can only see them in 6 weeks. Listen, I am busy all day long. And I'm not complaining. I love what I do. And the most important, the thing I love the most about it is you people. Every individual, that's what I love the most. Because when I see a life that's changed, oh, I thank God for my job every day. That I can be a part of what he's doing in Vero Beach. And we are only a part. We are not the whole. We are not the whole. There are great churches, great pastors doing a great work. But one thing I have learned is that I'm not going to come against them because they're different to me. Why should I? I've got my own problems, my own things I need to take care of. Like I said earlier, let's first take the speck out of our own eye before we go and take the plank out of somebody else's. I've learned I may not agree. And if I see another pastor and it's getting really bad, and I know them and it's a really bad situation, if the Lord puts it on my heart, I'm not going to go attack them in public. I'm going to go and go to them biblically and speak to them privately. Not try to embarrass them so half their people will leave their church. You know who's going to hold me accountable? The Lord will. Because ultimately, everyone who's appointed in a position of authority, it's not them. It's not their authority. It was given to them by God. So when you come against a work of God, you are not coming against an individual. You are coming against God. We don't understand this. And you know, and some people get really, really, they take this a whole different level. And you know, the man of God, it's not about the man of God. It's not about a man. It has nothing to do with the man, because there are people sitting here that have got far greater destinies than me. And I'm okay with that. I want you to step into it. Are you with me? But for right now, I'm the overseer here. God has appointed me to do this work. I hope you see my heart in this. Verse number 5. And he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, tomorrow morning, the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. Do this, take censers, Korah, and all your company. Put fire in them and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the Holy One. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi. Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi. Is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from among the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to serve?" Isn't it? He's saying to them, listen, why are you coming and fighting with me about what God has told me to do? God's given you such great opportunity and responsibility. Do everything you can with it. And if he wants to give you more, he will. But what are you doing coming against what God has told me to do? Why are you coming against me? Why are you trying to cause division and strife among the people? In verse number 10, "And that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, which with you. And are you seeking the priesthood also?" So he's saying, why are you going for more? Why are you coming after what I'm called to do? "Therefore you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord." Do you see it? It's not the man. Moses doesn't glow in the dark. I know he thought he did. And in fact, I'll tell you something funny for free. Moses would come down the mountain and he would put a veil on his face because the glory was so wonderful, so great on his face. But in the book, in the New Testament, Paul tells us that he did it because the glory was fading and he didn't want people to see that it would fade. In other words, the only time you glow in the dark, brothers, when you're in the presence of God. But as soon as you leave there, the flesh begins to rise up inside you. Because you are just a man. But Moses would cover his face. You can't look into my face now. And as time would go on, he would become more and more in the flesh and that glory would depart. It's in the Bible. Then he says, "And what is Aaron that you complain against him?" And Moses sent to call Dathan. It's actually funny because oftentimes something will happen and then people will come against a leader with their own agenda. What they don't understand is many of those leaders are leaders over several others as well. No one else seems to be complaining. If they were, I would be addressing that leader. But if it's all coming from just one source, maybe the source is the problem. You know, what I'm about to read to you in just a moment, I don't understand. You know, you can be ugly and do something about it, but stupid is forever. Okay, this blows my mind. Okay? He says in 11 verse in the B part, "And what is Aaron that you complain against him?" And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram and the sons of Eliab. But they said, "We will not come up." Verse 13, "Is it a small thing?" This is what they sent. This is the message they sent to Moses. "Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness?" What? This is how someone that wants to bring division will speak. They lose their mind. God has delivered them out of Egypt where they were slaves. Everybody say slaves. Oh, but they say it was the land flowing with milk and honey. That's why I said you can be ugly and do something about it, but stupid is forever. Because that is just insane. Makes no sense. But this is how they've begun to think. Why? Because their minds have become perverted. Twisted, distorted, nothing sexual. Are you with me? I'm telling you like Paul wrote it. Their minds have become perverted. And they have their own agenda. Iniquity has entered their heart. This is what happened to Lucifer. The same thing happened. And what happened to them? They got thrown out of heaven. There ain't no grace for them, guys. For those angels. Now, you know why it's important that I preach this message? Because this kind of thing has the potential to cause great harm. And I'm going to show you what actually happens. Because it does. It causes great harm. And understand, when Paul writes and when Jude writes about this, they know what happens when divisiveness occurs, what it can eventually lead to. Okay? Verse 13, "Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us?" Of course, Moses, you know, he does nothing. He just sits in the world in the tabernacle all day. He's got a great job. You know? You know, Moses does nothing. He just, you know, preaches on Sundays and that's it. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody give me an amen. Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given inheritance of fields and vineyards. Listen, it's all about me. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. In other words, listen, we've made up our mind. We are not going to listen to you, Moses. We're not going to be persuaded by you. We have a plan. We're coming against you, and everyone's going to follow us. This is what they believe. Verse 15, then Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, do not respect their offerings. I have not taken one donkey from them, nor have I hurt one of them. And Moses said to Korah, tomorrow you and all your company be present before the Lord. You and they, as well as Aaron, let's all come together and see what the Lord says. Let each take his census and put incense in it. And each of you bring his census before the Lord, 250 censers, both you and Aaron, each with his censer. Verse 18, so every man took his censer, put fire in it, laid incense on it, and stood at the door of the tabernacle of meeting with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against him at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation. He's now isolated them, that I may consume them in a moment. In verse 22, then they fell on their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and you be angry with all the congregation? So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation, saying, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. In other words, listen, the wrath of God is about to get really intense. Why? Because God's plan for these people in the wilderness is about to be affected by three people. And these three people have affected 250 people. And he's saying, listen, please God, be merciful to them. Are you gonna judge them all just because of the three? And he says, listen, the only way to escape this judgment is get away from them. Depart from them. Don't listen to them. Because you will be inflicted and affected by them, and the same judgment can come on you. Can come on you. God decides, not me. Verse 26, Moses ran. What verse was that in? Somebody help me. 20, how many? There's so, everyone's in a different place. You're more confused than me. What are we in? 25, okay. Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs. In other words, don't be a part of this in any way, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So they got away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of the tents with their wives, their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. In other words, listen, we've come to this place, church. They came to this place not by the hand of Moses, but by the hand of the Lord. And because it was by the hand of the Lord, now you want to rise up and cause division and dissension because you have your own agenda. I want you to know that at that point, you've not offended man, you've offended God. It's not about the man. It could have been some other dude, but it was Moses in this incident. And it's not about protecting Moses, it's about protecting the work that God has done. He's invested in Moses, he's used Moses, but it could be anybody. It's not about Moses. Are you with me? Verse 29, if these men die naturally like all men, or if they are visited by a common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. And now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the men of Korah with all their goods. Verse 33, it's tragic. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. In other words, guys, get away from people that want to cause division. Verse 34, then all of Israel who were around them fled at their cry. Can you imagine hearing that cry of those people getting swallowed into the earth? And said, lest the earth swallow us also. But God wasn't finished. This is Korah, Dathan, and Abiram in their little group. This all takes place with their families. But now God's about to get the others, the 250 that were part of this, because what was on those men was now on them. Remember what the Bible says, when they become like this, they are not operating by the Spirit anymore. And fire, verse 35, and a fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. Why? Because they were no longer part of the Lord, part of the Spirit. They had been taken away. They had been, this is so serious. Are you with me? Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, tell Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, to pick up the censers out of the blaze, for they are holy, and scatter the fire some distance away. The censers of these men who sinned against their own soul. Do you see it? When you do this, when you get involved in division, you sinning against your own soul. You are bringing judgment on yourself. Now, I could read more, but I don't want to read everything that happens to you. But what I want to say to you is that the next day, the people were very upset with Moses because of these 250 men that died. And all of a sudden, the Lord sent a plague, and this plague began. And Moses called Aaron and took Aaron aside, and they began to pray and write a census and ask the Lord, please, Lord, forgive them. Because they didn't know, because they basically came and said, Moses, this is you. In other words, that same thing, that same spirit was now affecting the congregation. And the Bible tells us that 14,000 people died. And then it stopped. Now you understand why Paul was so intense about division. Don't think it a small thing. We're not talking about a business here, guys. This is not about cents and dollars. This is about people's lives that was paid for with blood. Don't mess with this. If you have something you have to say to me, please come and see me. I will make an appointment to see you if you're upset, if you're worried. And I have other leaders that will help assist you. I have wonderful zone leaders that give their lives. You have no idea how these people serve. There are people in this church that serve for nothing, and they do it with their whole hearts. They are all over the place. They wear badges. That's why they have badges, because they've been approved. Are they perfect? No. Do we know everything about every one of them? No. But we've done the best to see their fruit. Because when we see good fruit, the Bible says a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Well, Pastor Alex doesn't allow us to just lay hands in the cell groups the way we want to. Well, there's a reason for it. Because we want to protect you. That's why our leadership can, but other people shouldn't until they have been approved. And if you can't wait, go somewhere else. You're free to leave. I don't want you to, because we have such a great vision and God's going to do amazing things here, and we would love you to be a part of it. So what do you do when someone comes with this divisiveness and begins to do it, begins to speak it? I'm so glad you're asking. Paul said, flee, but let me show you how to handle it from the Bible. Is that okay? Just one little scripture and then we'll close. Proverbs 15, verse number 1. Now this may be in the context more of an argument, but I've seen this work so many times when someone is being divisive. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. In other words, when someone comes and they start spewing all kinds of evil, now you get on board and you all, it just becomes one hot mess. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Everything in the Bible is so important. There's nothing that we must leave out. That's why I cannot leave this, because the church is growing. People are coming from all over the place to Oceans. We don't know all of you yet. We will hopefully get to know you. We've got a lot of things planned where we will be able to, you know, meet you more and more. And even myself and Naomi, we want to try and be more, you know, accessible on Sundays and other days. We're doing the best we can. Guys, we are doing the best we can. We will never do everything right. And I ask you in advance, please forgive me. When it comes to sin and doing things evil or bad, hold me accountable. But the way we've set the church up has been done with a lot of prayer and thought, and comes from another church that has been extremely successful. And we have seen the fruit of that here. Again, if we see things are not working in an area, we will always do our best to adjust it as the Lord leads us. From counsel from my leaders that I trust, that I love. And hopefully as we grow together in the Lord, I will come to know you too. There are people that are in this church that I've walked the road with. I've seen you. And the way you've grown, the way God has begun to use you, and it is astounding. And there's nothing that gives me as the senior pastor joy. But please, when someone, whether it be in church or in the cafe or wherever, comes and begins to spew the division and divisiveness, please do what Scripture says for your own good. Because ultimately the destruction will not be mine, it will be yours. Listen, God will hold me accountable for every word I speak from this platform. The Bible talks about a greater judgment, a greater accountability that will come on us as men of God. And I take that very, very seriously. As I said to you at the beginning of my sermon, my pastor has taught me the value and importance of the fear of the Lord. And I tell you the truth, there's not one service where I don't get in the car. Well, let me say this rather. There are very, very few times I don't get in the car after a service and say, Lord, I hope that was okay. Because these people are not mine. They are yours and they are valuable to you. So why would we want to destroy a work that God is doing because of our own personal agenda? Because that's exactly what Lucifer did. And it caused turmoil in heaven. And listen, when Korah and Dathan and Abiram decided to do it in the wilderness, God said, this is not happening again. And he struck them. Boom. Are you with me, guys? Use your mouth to speak words that bring edification, exhortation, and comfort. To build people up, not break them down. To bring love and peace and joy and righteousness, not division, divisiveness, and death. Because there is only one accuser. Now, I want to say one more thing and then I'm going to close. And this is so important. I want you to understand something. The Bible is clear. The battle is not against flesh and blood. So I know when something's happening, that there may be an individual or some group of people or something that are starting to cause trouble. I'm very aware that it's not the individual behind it. It's the spirit that's behind it that's doing it. That's why, you know, someone will say to me, for example, you need to deal with this right now. And I'll say, no. Because I first need to go into my prayer closet. I first need to go and speak to the Lord, and I need Him to tell me how He wants me to handle it. And then when I stand before that individual or whatever the situation is, I know that the Lord has already given me what He wants me to say. And I will come with a kind word, not to be malicious, or I don't want to hurt anyone. I want that spirit that's trying to do this to go, so that we can continue and move forward as a church. We've got far too much to do, guys, than to sit and worry about all the this and the that. Can you all say amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Thank you. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, I thank you so much that your presence is here this morning. You are so good, Lord. We are so fortunate that we can be a part of this story, which is really your story, Lord. that we get to be children of the Most High God. Father, people have been hurt in churches by so many different circumstances. I pray, Lord, that you will bring them to restoration, to peace, that you will be merciful, because you are the God of mercy. In fact, your word is clear. The mercy is on you even every day. So I ask, Lord, that you will be this way with us. None of us here in this room are without mistakes. So we cannot throw a stone at anyone. But as we stand together in this congregation this morning, our desire, Lord, is as your word declares, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your desires, your plan, not for the church only, but for every individual, Lord. Let your purposes be fulfilled in their heart. Lord, I pray for anyone that's been hurt, for anyone that has been caught up in all this nonsense of division and divisiveness, wanting to spew evil with their own personal agenda. And Father, even those that have been caught up in it, Lord, and have maybe even partaken, I ask that you will touch them this morning. Whether they come from other churches that happened before and they've come here for healing, I pray, Lord, that you will restore them. But I also pray that no one will be caught up in the same things that they were before. All it does is bring destruction. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your love. I thank you, Jesus, that you paid it all for each and every one of us. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with every one of you as you leave this place this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.